Ahí anda, rico.
Esa.
Mr. McCauley.
What's happening?
Chair just logged in. I just accepted him now. He's going to start the meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Network is one of the biggest problems now. Can I try just to see again? I'll switch off my the video. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chair, we can hear you.
Okay. Can we get, are there any apologies?
Good afternoon, honorable members and our guests. Just one apology, Chair, from the minister. He's attending the presidential
recording in progress
in Mpumalanga. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Being the case as it may, can I check Ari, can we flag the agenda for today? Okay. We are going to be dealing with the briefing by DMRE on the gas amendment bill, their response, and then we will then look at the set of minutes, and hopefully we won't finish at the time that is highlighted there. But that is what we'll be dealing with now. In that case, before I give to the MRE, I think it will be important to highlight that as a committee, we got the briefing by the department on the gas amendment bill on the 26th of May, 2021. We then made a call through adverts for written submission, which was published in almost all media, including the social, including even local newspapers. Officially closing date as stated was the 30th of July 2021. So it means it was a full month. After the closure, we received 19 submissions. Of those, 16 requested to further elaborate through oral submissions. But only 15 made oral submissions on the between the 30th and the 3rd of December 2021. But obviously some had made submissions during the public hearings that were conducted. So here we are. We have already then asked the department, based on their submissions, to then say what is their take on those written submissions, of which they have made a submission. Now we will be listening to them. But I think I must hasten to say, honorable members, we have not reached the stage of deliberation. We will explain what is the process. It's only now, when the department had presented to us, there would have been responses through the written submissions. The question now is whether have they made any reconsideration or review or re-enhancement of what was contained on their initial submission in terms of the draft bill. We are not deliberating whether what they are saying is right or is wrong. We are just saying to them, here are the presentations that we made. What is your take on them? That doesn't bar us from then seeking clarity. For an example, if you say this, does that mean this is what you are saying? If that is the case, it will then help at least not to distort or to over-exaggerate when we meet, because one of the most difficult things is to distort a person's views or ideas. So we're not necessarily there now where we will say, this is our view, this is wrong, this is right, this is what we think has to happen. It's just to get clarity so that when we engage, when we deal with the deliberations, we can then be able to move from a premise of a true and a common understanding of what does this exercise mean. On that note, can I then give the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, I'm not sure, I've tried to check Mamu Kamede or whoever is leading the delegation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, as well as some of the DDGs that are here, and our managers as well. Unfortunately, we've just had an emergency where DDG Mwabe has just been admitted now in hospital. It's just an emergency, but I think she will be fine. So obviously then she will be represented by Mayor Mamogale. She will do the presentation. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We will give over then to Mayor Mamogale to assist us. Thank you.
Good afternoon, DG, the Deputy Minister, the Chair of the Portfolio Committee, and the Honorable Members. Looking at the presentation outline, I think the Chair, through you, Chair, you have clarified the introduction. So I would like to move straight to the comments and the responses. Just to reiterate that we have received 19 submissions from the stakeholders, and how we have dealt with these comments. We have looked at a specific provision, comments that are dealing with specific provision on the bill, and also the general comments that addresses issues of climate change and environmental concerns. So I will start with the concern that were raised in some of the definitions in the bill. In terms of section 1B, I think here the concern was why are we deleting the definition of the chief executive officer? Yes, it is a deletion because it falls under section 3, article 14 of the Act, which form part of the deletion in the bill. Moving to section 1G, this relates to the definition of distribution And the concern from the stakeholders is why the definition of distribution is to exclude eligible customers. This is noted, and we support the response because eligible customers, they will also require the use of the transmission and distribution services. Moving to section 1I, the concern is here is also more of saying, why are we saying the minister will determine the threshold for qualifying customers in the definition of eligible customers? But we've noted that this will be determined by the minister in the regulation. Moving to section 1K, this relates to the definition of gas, and I think the concern from the stakeholders is more of saying the definition of gas, it must make reference to the IEP, the IRP, and the Integrated Gas Development Plan. And our response as the department is that this will, we are more of saying including the IRP, the IRP and the Integrated Development Plan in the definition of gas, it will not serve any purpose because we want to give it an ordinary meaning as defined in the bill. Moving to section 1P, which relates to the definition of liquefaction, I think the concern here is that we must qualify this definition to include for the purpose of transportation of such for energy. However, we feel that this will limit the intention that we aim to give it to this definition as its original meaning. Then this the other issue is more of creation. The definition it qualifies and say by a municipality to an end consumer. And the concern here, it was saying that if we qualify this definition to say by a municipality to end consumer, what about the reticulators who are currently reticulated in the market? Because this looks like now the reticulation will be done by the municipality. Moving to the definition of storage, our definition, it was limiting storage to fixed infrastructure, and the concern from the stakeholders is more of saying that we should not limit this definition because storage will not only apply to fixed infrastructure, we must cater for mobile storage units, such as the energy virtual pipeline. And moving to section 41I, the comment is that we need to provide NERSA with the powers to conduct market inquiry. However, as the department, we are of the view that empowering the energy regulator to conduct market inquiry is more of taking away the powers of the Competition Commission as entrenched in the Competition Commission Act. And the Act is very clear that whenever the Competition Commission undertake market inquiry, they may provide recommendation to the minister on new policies, legislation, or regulation, or they may recommend any other regulatory tools that needs to be put in place. Moving to section 21I, we've noted this comment because the bill it prevents the licensee to charge unreasonable or excessive prices, and it does not cater for the definition of unreasonable or excessive prices. Then there's a concern also on section 38A, which deals with exclusivity. This is when an applicant for a distribution applies for exclusivity. And the concern here is that the exclusivity, it will create monopoly. And our response is that the granting of exclusivity is more of ensuring that the investor, they recoup their return of investment. And this provision also, it allows for the applicant will have to apply to the energy regulator, and they need also to submit a market developmental plan, which the energy regulator will review, meaning that if they does not comply to the market developmental plan, they do have the powers to withdraw the exclusivity. Moving to section 22A, I think it's the same issue as exclusivity, whereby they are raising, yeah, it still relates to exclusivity, where they are raising the issue of monopoly and creating an uncompetitive market. Then there's an issue which relates to section 32B, and this relates to the regulation of tariffs and prices, and the concern from the stakeholder is more of saying that we need to liberalize the market, as internationally we know that the market forces regulate the prices. And the concern is that we need to develop this market to cater for free trade concept. However, as the department, we are saying the gas industry is still developing, and once the industry is matured, we can liberalize the market. And the bill is very clear that the regulation of price, it depends on inadequate competition in the industry. And once the industry is fully matured, then we can allow the market forces to determine the price of gas. So moving to section 25.1, this relates to the surrender of a license, and I think the issue here, stakeholders, they see it as being transferred on the license, which is prohibited by the bill. Then their concern is that surrender is more of transferring of a license. However, we are saying this is not going to be just a transfer. The licensee will have to apply to the energy regulator to ensure that they comply with the conditions that are there in the license as issued. Then moving to section 25.3, I think this also it relates to the surrender of a license. And the concern here is more of if the bill allows for a surrender of a license, we must also empower the energy regulator to make rules for surrendering of a license. And this is also noted as one of the things that we will discuss with our state law advisor to incorporate in the bill. Then moving to section 26.4. So there is a proposal of deleting this provision because the stakeholders may feel that when we issue a compliance notice to a licensee and we suspend the activity or the license, we are preventing the licensee to remedy the contravention. However, as the department, we are saying that suspension of the license, it will not prevent the licensee to remedy the contravention. Then there is a concern also in terms of section 86.5, and this relates to a minimum fine of 2 million. And the concern that is raising here is more of saying, allow the bill to cater for independent judicial authority, because if we are not happy with the administrative fine that the energy regulator is going to impose, we must be able to appeal the decision. So what we have noted as the department is that their concern is more of how this is going to be applied. It's more of on a process how this is going to be administered. But our intention, however, is to ensure that we deter non-compliance. Because the other issue that they raise is that this is a significant change from what the current act is saying, and the current act says the maximum is 2 million. Then moving to section 27, this relates to revocation of a license, and they are also raising the same issue that we need to ensure that they can provide for independent tribunal. The revocation of a license should not be handled by the energy regulator. However, we are saying that, and we are saying that this, the recommendation also is that we need to allow the process to be handled by the High Court. However, we are saying that the High Court process will come at a huge cost, and the bill provides for a judicial review. Any licensee who is not satisfied with the decision of the energy regulator, they may take the matter for judicial review. Then there is section 28B, which deals with the minister making a determination for new gas infrastructure and gas services. And the concern is more of saying this provision is discouraging fair competition in the market, as and it disadvantages the function of the energy regulator. However, we are saying that this provision is similar to what the minister is currently doing in terms of section 34 of the Electricity Regulation Act. And the bill is also clear that this will be done in consultation with the energy regulator. And the process will involve a fair, equitable, and transparent competitive process, which will be in line with the PFMA and also in line with section 217 of the Constitution. So moving to section 28B, page 18. The concern here that is raised is whether section 28B, which empowers the minister to make a determination for gas infrastructure, does it only relate to government-owned entities? And if you look at the provision of the bill, it is clear that does not only relate to to government-owned entities. It is very clear, it is captured in the bill that it will also involve the organ of state, the private sector, and also cooperative in terms of the Cooperative Act. Then we have section 29A. So the concern here is that the stakeholders, they want the licensee to make available their licenses open for disclosure to all interested and affected parties. And we do have a provision in the bill, which is very clear, section 29A, which provide that it will happen. However, there is confidential treatment of some of the information that the licensee cannot be disclosed, that any interested and affected party can have access to. Then moving to section 31.2, which deals with expropriation of land. I think the concern here is more of saying why the bill takes preference over rights that are confined on other legislation. And the provision in the bill are very clear that the minister will do this in consultation with the minister responsible for expropriation of land. And also, this will be done in line with the Expropriation Act and the Constitution. Then, moving to section 35.3, I think this relates to third-party access that is provided for in the bill. And the concern that is raised here, the bill is clear that third-party access, it will happen to a transmission, to a distribution and storage licenses. However, there is an omission in terms of a regasification facility, and we've noted that will be addressed, that we also cater for third-party access in a regasification facility. And these are the new provisions that are being recommended to include to be included in the bill. We have noted that. Then moving to the general comments. There's a concern that the gas master plan, it must undertake the process of strategic environmental assessment. And we've made it clear that any recommendation in terms of the development of pipeline in the gas master plan, it will have to comply with all the necessary environmental legislation, including the undertaking of this year. And there was a concern also on the principle of public participation, that the provisions in the bill does not set the principle of public participation, socio-economic and socio-ecological implication. With regards to socio-economic, we know that when bills are developed, we have to undertake the socio-economic impact assessment through presidency. That has been done when the bill was submitted to cabinet. And relating to the issue of public consultation, we know that when the process of legislation development, it includes public consultation with interested and affected parties. So there is no way that a bill can be tabled in cabinet without having to undergo public participation. We have undergone public participation in terms of the process of legislative development in the country, and the bill was consulted in all the 9 provinces in 2013. Moving to the slide that deals with climate and environment. So the concern here is more saying putting this bill through parliament, it has a significant threat to climate challenges, and natural gas cannot be used as a substitute for coal. And we are very clear in the object of the bill that the sector, it will be developed in a sustainable and orderly manner, ensuring that there is safe, efficient, and environmental compliance. And our view is that natural gas should play a role in the transition to low carbon economy, as it emits fewer emissions relative to coal. Then moving to the next slide, the concern also here is more of saying the bill violates Section 24 of the Constitution. And the argument this put forth is that asserting the bill, it will make it impossible for us to reach a net zero by 2050. So, answering to the issue of Section 24 of the Constitution, the object of the bill is clear that the development of the sector will ensure that we comply with the environmental legislation. Then, in responding to the issue of the net zero by 2050, I think here is more of a report that was issued by the IEA on the net zero by 2050. And what the environmental lobbies are not acknowledging in this report is that the report is clear that there is no single pathway to this goal, as developing countries and developed countries are facing different socio-economic challenges. And the path that each country will follow in reaching the net zero 2050, it will be different. So meaning that there will be a different creative approach to clean energy future, taking into consideration the cost of the new technologies and also the economic consequences of transitioning to reach the net zero. Thank you, Chair. That is all.
We'll take the question, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's where we are in terms of our presentation, and we will hand over to you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson?
He's probably talking to himself. Call him.
Will do, mommy.
Hello. Hello.
We can hear you, Chair.
We are here, Chair.
Oh, I'm talking to myself. Okay. Any additions, Mom Kamede?
No, there's nothing, Chairperson. I think what we've presented is, I think, what we have so far. Thank you, present, Chairperson.
Okay. Are there any questions of clarity that honorable members would need to get on the a response of the department. I see the hand of Honorable Mailem. Is there any other hand? Okay, in the absence of a hand, can I give Honorable Mailem?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, just a couple of very brief procedural questions. The first one is, there were numerous submissions made during the portfolio committee's public participation process. Has the department taken those into account, and have they adequately responded to all of those? I haven't gone through and checked every single one. I see that some of them have been responded to, but I just wondered whether they had considered all of those submissions that had been made during the oral public participation that the portfolio committee attended. And then secondly, Chair, with regard to the amendments that the department is supporting, when will we be receiving an updated version of the bill, a B version of the bill? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I can't find any other hand, except if I'm wrong. Maybe one thing you can clarify on, there's something there. Is it one I? In what you were saying, you agree. It says the minister not. If you can just put back that slide. I see the hand of Prof. Can you put back that? Don't lift it off, because we are dealing with it. I see Professor Msimang, your hand is up. Can I give it to you? Prof is far. Can we go to I1I? It's just a matter of clarity. Yes. or there's something that says prescribed. I don't know what I read correctly. It says this is supported. This is supported. The threshold should be prescribed by the minister in the regulation, not to be determined by the minister. Am I reading that the question is that the threshold should be regulated, not be subject to the minister at any given moment. It should be something that is, I want to understand the difference, because this one says it should be prescribed by the minister in the regulation, not be determined by the, I would have thought maybe it should be saying instead of being determined by the minister. I don't know whether I'm reading it correctly. If one can get clarity on that. I don't know in terms of the procedure, but let the department answer first before I try and attempt. Can I give you Mamukamed and your team?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mamukhali, can you please assist us in terms of all the questions and clarity? Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Responding to the question of Honorable Mellem, yes, we have responded to all the oral submissions that have been submitted to Parliament. However, the presentation does not cover all of them. We have submitted a comprehensive submission to Parliament. Then moving to the issue of, I think this is raised by the chair, the state law advisor. Yes, we are still going to consult with the state law advisor on the bill in terms of the impact and the comments that we are supporting, how we can factor them in the bill. And when that it will be done, we will be guided by the committee once all the engagement with them have been finalized. Then moving to the issue, the question on section 1I that is raised by the Honorable Chair. Yes, the concern here is that the bill as it currently it read as saying the qualifying threshold, it will be determined by the minister. And we've noted that actually it should be saying it should be reading as prescribed, meaning that that will be prescribed in the regulation. So it's something that we have noted. So prescribed, it means by the regulation, because once the bill is assented, then we need to develop the regulations in terms of the regulation in terms of things that are the new things that are being prescribed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's happening now? I assume the hand of Professor Msimang was just raised by accident. I've been trying to give him a chance. He's not responding. Okay. Is there any other matter in terms of a follow-up on the question? Okay, Honorable Mylem, my understanding, maybe Ayanda and others can help. My understanding is that by in terms of the procedure, the department is expected to respond on the written submission. The issue of public hearings and what has been raised, it is a matter for members of the portfolio committee to ascertain what the department would have said. And based on that, they will then shape their own thinking as and when they engage or deliberating on the act to go beyond what would have been submitted as written submission, but talk now even to what is contained on the report that we have adopted as a portfolio committee as a true reflection of what transpired in the public hearings. That is my understanding. But if it's on that, Honorable Mylem, can I also check with the, we're going to say table staff, with the secretariat, whether it is correct. But if it is something different, can I give you a follow-up on it?
Thank you, Chair. No, it doesn't have to do with the public participation process now. It's more to do with the other question that I asked, and that is the updated draft of the bill. Chair, I note from the notice of the meeting that is scheduled for Tuesday that we are going to consider the desirability of the bill. But I would suggest that that is premature, given the fact that we don't have an updated version of the bill before us. So my proposal is that the DMRE conclude their discussions with the state law advisor, submit an updated version of the bill, and then we adopt a motion of desirability rather than jumping the gun, getting a changed version and having to go through the whole process again. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I don't know. I like, can even that one, can the secretariat help us on that in terms of the procedure?
Can I come in, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Chair, with regards to the question of Mr. Mylem, the bill is in front of the committee. The department now has done its work in terms of responding to the oral submission. So since the bill is in front of the committee can make any changes they want to do. The A list and the B list is done by the committee, not by the department. So the committee, when they will discuss on Tuesday the motion of desirability, and then they can go to deliberations, and then any changes they want to make it will be done by the committee, not by the department. But we are working hand in hand with the state law advisor and the legal advisor from Parliament. I'm not sure whether it covers the question of Mr. Mailem, but my colleagues can assist. We've got our legal advisor also on the platform, Chair. Thank you.
Yes, I was going to say exactly that, I saw that the legal services is also present in the meeting. Can I give you legal services?
Yes, you can, in my chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'm trying to check your name because I saw it here.
Yes, it's Frank Jenkins. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I'm trying to look at it now. I see it now.
Yeah. Chair, I've just looked at NI rule, I think it's 286, sub rule 4. Now, the motion of desirability comes before the 2864 sets out the procedure in the Committee for Legislation, and then it says after due deliberation, there must be an adoption of desirability. But that's relating to whether the principles of the bill and the need for the bill are accepted. So when you look at the concept of the bill, the committee must find a way to then decide whether it's desirable to proceed or not. The issue of the details and the deliberations of the details of the bill comes after that, Chairperson. So the principle is not on the bill in detail, the principle of the motion of desirability. It is really just on whether the principles of the bill in general and the need for it are accepted, and then one move forward from there. So in practical terms, Chair, there will be compliance with the rules if we do the motion of desirability before we go into the clause by clause and the final the details of amending the provision, Chairperson. That's my understanding of the practice as well as the rule. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Can I put it this way as a chairperson? That first you must get someone who confirms and move the minutes as a true reflection of what would have transpired, or a report. And then once you have adopted the report, you can then at that time deliberate on a report that you agree that it is a reflection of what had transpired. But I'm taking this to be saying you first have to agree that you proceed. Before you proceed to the next stage of deliberating, you need first to concur that it is necessary to have this bill. Then you can work on the nitty-gritties on something that you've agreed on its necessity. Will I be putting it correctly if I say so?
Yes, Chair. Yes.
Okay. That is the answer I see. Is there any other? I think that's you wanted to raise something, Honorable Mashaule?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. I wanted to even simplify it, Chair, to say this is a bill that exists, by the way. So its desirability is already there. The issue is the desirabilities of what we want to insert and change and all of that. So I just wanted to make that point that we'll deal with nitty-gritties, but it shouldn't be difficult to deal with the issue of desirability because it's already a bill. I'm not sure whether I simplify it or I complicate it.
You are simplifying it in a complicated way. Simple. I think what you are saying is that this is an existing act. The bill is amending an existing act, and therefore the question, I don't want us to go to the desirability. The question then is that we have to deliberate whether is there a need to deal with the proposed amendment on the existing act. I think that's the question. So when we talk about desirability, we're talking about desirability on the proposed amendment to an existing act. I think for me that becomes that's why I'm saying it's a little bit much more simplified in that fashion. Can we live with that then? Because that's a normal procedure, unfortunately. That's what legal services, that's a normal procedure we have to follow. And then I think the point, though, I don't think we should take that out. The point that Honorable Mylam, though, is saying, which I think it could simplify the process, is that can the department in the meantime, as they work with also state law advisors, try and fast track those areas that they agree with them in the bill so that the committee can interact with them, whether it's when it deals with clause by clause or it's when it makes deliberations, because there will be a common understanding that these are the things that when they were raised by stakeholders in the written submission, already are accommodated and agreed to. The only thing, I think the manner that you would do, we should draw a distinction, because only the committee can factor those in if and when it agrees with them. But I think to fast track the process in the manner that it is now, it might be better. I would say, for instance, if you put it in there, you can put it in red, that this is what has been read. It was not reflecting this way. It will be up to the committee in the final analysis whether it agrees with what now the department will be proposing as areas that it is comfortable or not comfortable with them. Will that not suffice, honorable members? In the absence of any other thing, I think then we agree as a committee. Can we go now to the next item?
Can I come in, Chair? You did give me an opportunity.
Yes, Prof.
Thank you. I see that both the minister and the regulator are authorized to make regulations. I wonder why this is desirable. And secondly, whether this does not lead to confusion. Will there always be clarity as to which questions or regulations must be made by the minister and which by the regulator? Thank you, Chair.
Now, thank you, Prof. Let me help you. No, we are not there yet. The issue of desirability is exactly allowing first whether there is a need to proceed or not with the proposed amendments by the department. That's what desirability. Then the issues that you are raising are for the committee to deliberate on. The department or any other person can't tell us when it comes to the bill. They are proposing to us. It is for us, for an example, to say, yes, we agree these powers could be given to the regulator or to the minister. For now, we are not there yet. We are just saying, yes, we note what they are saying. Is there a need to proceed with the proposed amendment on the bill? Well, then, if we agree, we will then deal with the proposed amendment, agree to disagree in the deliberations, and then what will reflect finally is what the committee proposes or suggests. At this stage, there's nothing, still what the department is proposing. It's only giving us what they will be comfortable with in accommodating some of those limitations, but also giving reasons why some of the issues that we raised, they are not necessarily in agreement with them. But it still rests. From now, we'll never see the department again. We can only see what the department has put, like Honorable Mylam was suggesting. But even there, it can't change what the committee was submitted to it, except if the committee agrees to accommodate those issues. But it will have to guide the committee on its deliberations and try to fast track the process. Can we agree then that we go to the next item now, Ari?
Can the department please stop the sharing of the presentation, Chair?
Yeah, you can lift it. No, it's me who should have told them. You can lift it now.
So it's close to minutes of 1 April, Chair.
Okay. Wait. Okay. In the absence of any correction, is there any move of the minutes?
I'm not sure, but I adopt.
Honorable Malinga, any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we now go to any matters arising there? In the absence of none, can you go to the next ones? Are Ayan?
These are the minutes of 3 May, Chair, the morning session.
I was thinking about these minutes, so that you were okay, let's go, but it's a normal procedure. We have to follow it. Okay. Is there any move of the minutes as stated? Am I?
Okay, I hereby move for the adoption of the minutes, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Bilankulu.
No,
Honorable Vomarans. Maybe I miss Honorable Bilankulu. Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising, or should I go through all of those ones? Because in the main, they were relating to the... Okay, but it's a normal procedure. Any matters arising? In the absence of any matters arising, can we go to the next set of minutes?
These are the evening minutes of 3 May, Chair.
Yes, go through. Okay, any matters are any move of the minutes?
I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Any second,
Second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Is there any matters arising? None. Can we go to the next set?
Six minutes, Chair.
Okay. Yes. Okay, any move of the minutes of the 2nd May? 6.
I move, Chair.
Pardon?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Okay, well, you are seconding. Honorable Malinga had said it's moving. Let's take it as a seconding. Can you? Are there any matters arising that members wants to raise there? Okay, I guess none. Next,
13 May, Chair.
Yes. Okay, any move of the minutes?
I move, Chair, for the adoption of the minute.
Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any matters arising? None. We are done, isn't it, Ari?
That's correct, Chair.
Okay, thank you, honorable members, for your patience. I know it's very tough when it is Fridays and honorable members have raised those issues. Unfortunately, we have to do our level best with regards to these issues. And therefore declare the meeting adjourned until we meet again. Thank you very much. You are released.
Thank you, Chair.
Yay. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Recording stopped.